Chapter 61. The Tangled Earth. Alfred Fairbanks sat up, and his hands fell away, and there was no doubt that he had been crying.
"I do not know what you mean, sir."
He found a white handkerchief, dabbed his eyes, and blew his nose. "The last time I collated my figures, which you might be inspired to learn, was Saturday the 15th of April, in the year of our Lord, 1882. I calculated that the proportion of people who have told me that they do not know what I mean when it transpires that they do, excluding, of course, waitresses and bank clerks, who rarely know what anybody means, it was 92.7%. This is not an encouraging statistic for you, Alfred Morris Fairbank, especially as it is patently clear that you know exactly what I mean." Sidney Grice was leaning in the doorway, like a skirt scanner assessing a parade of women on the Strand, but his voice was fast and compelling. "Identify the injuries that you bear from your adventure."
"They have all long healed,"
Alfred Fairbank managed.
"After you fought your way into, through and out of a conflagration which, if your account is to be believed, and who am I to doubt it, tore through a 112-foot fronted mansion in a matter of minutes?"
"I had many burns and blisters at the time," the old man said, "but as I explained, I covered my face."
"The average house burns in the region of 1,000 of Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit's elegantly, though eccentrically, calibrated degrees of temperature."
Sidney Grice took on the drone of a bored professor, lecturing equally bored undergraduates on the most boring part of their curriculum.
"And yet you survived your ordeal without so much as one lonely scar."
"Mr. Fairbank was mainly troubled by smoke," I argued, but Sidney Grice was not to be deflected from his course.
"Unswayed by my assistant's sapless logic, I shall put aside your breathtakingly absurd claims of incombustibility for the present, and proceed to your pretense that Miss Wilde's slumberous chamber was conflagrant. I shall not weary you with the fact that the inner surface of the outer wall of her room, which now lies supine upon the tangled earth, showed none of the 12 signs of scorching known to man, nor of the 5 additional signs with which I have acquainted myself."
"If you mean soot, sir, it would have been washed away years ago,"
Fairbank protested.
"You are sharp, Alfred Morris Job Fairbank,"
Mr. G said, with more admiration than he had greeted anything I had ever said.
"Which is also not a point in your favour, for I might have put some errors in your statement as the result of stupidity or senescence, whereas any attempt to feign forgetfulness from henceforth will be met with a degree of scepticism you may find alien to the genial persona with which I have presented you thus far. Putting that evidence also towards the rear of my colossal brain, just starboard of, but below my subparietal sulcus, I shall permit Miss Middleton to change the direction of this investigation."
"Invest—"
Fairbank's voice collapsed in alarm. "Miss Wilde used to sleep with a doll on her window ledge, did she not, Mr. Fairbank?" I asked.
"At an age when other children are more usefully employed in coal mines and factories,"
Sidney Grice observed. "Though you did neither," I remarked.
"I was never other children," he said stiffly.
"Cynthia,"
the old butler smiled in remembrance.
"A pretty little thing, made in Germany, I think."
Sidney Grice chewed his cheek.
"You may wish to remember that morsel of truth, Miss Middleton, but I doubt you will find it brings you comfort in the cold twilight years of your spinsterhood."
"I found that doll, Mr. Fairbank," I told him, not sure why it mattered.
"Concussed by a conjugation of events, its descent being abruptly interrupted by the cold earth."
Sidney Grice brought his right hand out of his pocket, held up the key, and enclosed it in his fist.
"And the section of wall that landed upon it had, in the succeeding years, offered Cynthia some protection from the elements."
"And what does that prove?"
Alfred Fairbank asked, with none of his former deference now.
"The doll's head was made from porcelain."
Mr. G opened his hand to show that it was empty.
"And, as anyone will attest, who has accidentally, and who has not, put their Ming or Tang vase into a furnace, porcelain at high temperatures chars or even melts. More to the point,"
my guardian nodded to me to continue. "She had real hair and a pretty dress on," I continued, "none of which showed any signs of damage by fire." Fairbank puffed.
"Whatever Mr. Grice may say about his numbers, I still have no idea what you are talking about.
Miss Frieda's room was not destroyed by fire, I calculated as I spoke. It fell into the garden when the lower floors collapsed.
Then how do you explain her burns?
The old butler demanded, slapping his chair to drive home his point. It is not for me to explain them, I replied rather lamely, I thought. But my guardian let out a triumphant,
Ha!
And opened his left fist to reveal the key.
Nor apparently is it for Alfred Morris Job Cyril Fairbank to reveal.
He threw the key up, and it disappeared.
Why do you keep giving me extra names?
Alfred Fairbank asked peevishly.
To peeve you, Sidney Grice smiled thinly. Tell me how Miss Frieda Wilde achieved her partial cremation, Alfred Morris Job Cyril Henry Fairbank.
He ambled back towards us, but stopped halfway and stuck out his cane at the old servant.
Tell me the truth, Fairbank, or does Miss Middleton have to wring it out of you like soapy water from a poorly rinsed grubby brown dishcloth?
I tried to look menacing, but I was not sure what wringing the truth out of an old man might entail.
I do not.
I am not listening.
Mr. G. clapped his hands over his ears and started humming loudly with no tune or rhythm. What are you hiding from us, Mr. Fairbank? I asked, and he bowed his head. A terrible thought struck me. Did you start that fire?
No,
the old butler recoiled in shock.
No, of course not. I loved that house and everyone in it.
Then tell us what really happened, I urged, and Mr. G. flung his hands from his head.
I am listening now, he proclaimed.
I cannot.
Alfred Fairbank pushed down his twitching arm.
At last we are getting somewhere,
Sidney Grice said, though I was thinking the opposite. You must, I pressed the old man.
No,
Alfred Fairbank curled himself up.
You don't understand, miss. I cannot, because I do not know.